What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, August 12th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One, at Gary Whitta.
Good morning, Greg. How are you, sir?
I don't think I'm as well as you are, Gary. For audio listeners, Gary is wearing his crown to signify all his Fall Guys victories.
Well, all one of them. But
yeah, you're in the one club like me.
I only need one crown.
That's all it is. Yeah, once you got it. Yeah, exactly. You've proved it. I thought about deleting it last night. Of course, me and Andy were playing. I got my first victory in Fall Guys. I thought about just erasing it from the hard drive and moving on.
I mean, in all seriousness, you know, the I feel like the great one of the great things about the battle royale genre,
sure,
in general, is that when you finally do win, it really does feel like an achievement because it's hard. You know, most games you're not going to win. So when you finally do win one, it does feel good. And I was getting very angry. I literally threw my controller at the wall the first couple of days when I kept this close to getting a crown, couldn't quite get one.
Sure.
And then after I finally got one, it felt like a big weight had been lifted. It was like,
sure,
you don't want to have that feeling of like, I'm just going to play this for a long time and just never have that feeling of winning it.
Right. Especially when we see all these clowns online getting
started.
Andy Cortez is like 16 already. I see Sancho West all the time out there winning. You know,
and there's a lot of trollish behavior going on, sure, out there as well. There's a lot of injustice. There's a lot of luck. There's a lot of reasons to be enraged playing this game. And that's part of the reason why I love it so much.
Sure.
I'll put this out there right now. I think for me personally, Fall Guys might legitimately be my game of the year. I think it's the most
fun. Oh, fuck you. You have an Animal Crossing talk show.
Yeah, but
Animal Crossing changed your career.
I know, but like in my infinite wisdom, I somehow found a way to take something that brings me a lot of joy, the game Animal Crossing, and I just turned it into a lot of work.
Yeah.
Fall Guys is just fun, and it's the game we need right now. You know, I love The Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima, and there's amazing games out there right now, like real works of art.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, not every game has to be like a devastating inquiry into the human condition. Like sometimes you just want to like goof around and have fun. And Fall Guys is fun for fun's sake, and it does it very, very well. And I'm just having a blast playing it. I'm really, really glad it's a thing.
What level are you? How much are you playing it? Because that's the thing, as I see you now popping on and streaming it every so often.
I'm playing it. I'm playing it a lot. And I actually streamed it for about an hour and a half before I even came on. This morning, I'm doing kind of a regular Fall Guys stream now over on my Twitch channel. And I've got two. So the thing is, there's no cross progression yet, which is a little bit annoying, even though, like, you know, I've got a separate character on. I've been playing mostly on PlayStation. So I'm like high 30s and then like in the teens on the PC version. So I'm kind of grinding both of those characters up. But, you know, hopefully I imagine that in the future, Fall Guys, you know, it's obviously still very early, and there's only some, you know, right now they're just trying to keep the server stable, just like the basic functionality. But as they grow and as they mature, and hopefully the game continues to be successful, I think you're going to see cross-play, cross-progression, Xbox and Switch versions, like all of that stuff. Like the game's too much fun to deny any particular player base. Like everyone should get this game. It's really fun.
100%. Plus, there's a new update out today, right? I saw the reports on it on GameSpot or whatever today.
Yeah, it's an update dropping today.
Some point I would drop it in. There you go. There's an update to Fall Guys coming out today, adding, making it more of that one of the jump with the spinnies that are going around.
Yeah, and they're taking one of the less popular games out of the final round rotation. They're kind of like decreasing the chance of it popping as the final game because it's not super popular. Let me ask you this, Greg. When I won my crown, I made a big noise about it. I posted YouTube clips. I'm going to force people to watch it again on Animal Talking tonight because you know what I'm like. You know, I'm unbearable when I win something.
Of course.
But you posted a picture of you with your crown, but what game did you win? Like what were the conditions?
It was Tail Grab.
Tell me about your victory. You won it in Tail Grab? Wow.
Tail Grab last night. Yeah, every man for himself. It was me and Andy in there. And as usual, you know, Andy comes from that special cut of gamer cloth, where he's excellent at the games, but he's also excellent at his core. And so like how him and Snowbike Mike will help people win. The idea, I think, in Andy's head was to get it for one of us to have it. And then if he had it towards the end, to run to me and let me get it. But Andy, I had it at one point. Then Andy had it for a long point. Then Andy lost it and we were in the scrum. And it was this crazy battle to get it. And at the, you know, as luck would have it, I think with like 5 seconds left, I was able to nab it, cut right, and just keep on running and got out of it.
You know, if you ever wanted to put a kind of funny elite squad together, I think you'd actually have a real talent pool. I certainly wouldn't put myself up because I'm a mediocre player at best. But like Andy Cortez, I've been watching some of him play his games. He's very good.
Yeah.
Barrett Courtney posted a clip of Hexagon's win the other day that is honestly one of the best performances on that round that I've ever seen. In all my years of watching Fall Guys, Greg, one of the best performances I've seen on that final round. And then I squatted up with Snowbike Mike last night and some of his pals. Mike's a legitimately good player as well.
Yeah. No, they are all excellent. And I think the hexagon thing of, I remember when I jumped in and was playing with Mike and Andy once, and they showed me how they do hexagon of the jump and wait, and just play that long game to keep going. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, it's so simple. And every time I get to hexagon, I start doing that in some fucking moron runs right at me, cuts all the things around me. They're not even trying to screw me up. They just are panicking. Then I fall 3 levels down and it's over.
There's a legit strategy there, though, like trying to keep yourself alive, but there's also almost like a little bit of electron light cycles, like trying to cut off the other person so that they don't have a route through. It's a lot of fun. I'm really, really enjoying that game. And
it's a game that infuriates me on so many levels, but yes, I love so much.
That's what's so great about it. Anyway, Fall Guys. Go get Fall Guys.
Go get Fall Guys. But today, how about we give you some news, like talking about the Xbox, talking about Halo's delay and how that'll affect the Xbox Series X launch and Control's not-so-smart delivery, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where you can give us your questions, comments, concerns, and everything under the video game sun. Of course, on patreon.com/kindafunnygames, yes, you can ask us questions and be part of the show and get your squad ups read, but you can also get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. Plus, you'd be over to go over there and get what, 7.5-8 episodes of a blessing show, Bless Up, where he talks to you directly for just $1. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. I understand. You can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. This morning, bright and early, Tim and Barrett's first impressions of Tony Hawk 1 plus 2 remake are officially up on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and podcast feeds. Of course, you can go find the first impressions podcast feed around the globe right now. Tim swears, the first impressions podcast feed used to be the debatable podcast feed. So Jared Petty's face was on it forever. He swears it's over now. So if you find that, it should be a refresh on your end and it should be fine, but who knows? Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, a.k.a. Momo and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Quip and Klarna, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We got 3 items on the Roper Report. Kevin, what were you doing to begin with? Because I could tell you were over here like...
I was spinning in a circle slowly.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Or is that just what you do during the show?
No, for this that effect.
I will challenge you. Is that I would like to see, you know how Tim, he'll want to keep it for January 2021, January 5th, 2021. We'll put it on the thermometer thing. Uh-huh. But what I would love is just on Patreon, if we put at some, whatever, a dollar amount we want, where people could just watch you the entire time. So they hear the audio of what we're doing, but they just see Kev Cam and see what Kevin's
doing. But here's the thing, Kev Cam won't be good enough, especially if we're working from home still.
People are there for the content.
No, you're not understanding. I'm going to need some sort of roaming set thing, like a Kev harness with a camera on it.
Sure, sure. That's a GoPro.
Wirelessly attached to...
We can get you one of those, like, the helmet thing people wear in the game shows.
Because, the reality is, before I was doing the doot-doot-doots, I know how the flow goes. I don't have to take a time code to hit housekeeping. So I'm putting together my coffee. It's halfway done right now. Sure. And I'm going to get up again in, 2 seconds to finish it.
And if we can, I know we're having a show here, as always, but what's this coffee maker you got? I saw on Instagram you got some coffee maker.
It's a cold brew.
30?
I'll show you.
It takes 30 minutes. You seen this? Do you follow my Instagram there?
Oh, my God. Gary? No, it takes way longer than that.
They're doing the thing where it's like this: the smallest drip of water comes and hits the coffee, and then 15 minutes later coffee. They get one more. But no, not, no, no, no like I know a pour drip. Over and all that.
So this is called slow drip? Hold on. Uh-huh. There we go. So this is on the left here.
See anything. What am I supposed to be seeing?
Oh, if you click watch stream on Kevin.
Oh, I gotta watch Discord. The stream.
Okay. You don't have to, but then you see what effects are doing. Right. Yeah.
You see it there?
Yeah. Yeah, we see
Hold on. I just realized it's the wrong size. Give me 1 second.
Looks like something from Breaking Bad.
I mean, we got things to do here. We got a whole show to talk about. It does look like a meth lab, Kevin, if I'm being honest.
It's not.
You sure? Could you make meth in it if you wanted to?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, it looks good that one, that shot in the middle of the crema and everything's got looks good.
What the process is, Greg, is you put ice up here and fill it with water, And then you've got coffee. Oh, you can't see the mouse in the middle section.
No, but I understand. I mean, I can see it. Yeah.
And it takes somewhere between 5 and 12 hours to make.
No, no, no.
But
no.
Here's the thing.
No, we need coffee.
Up overnight, I guess.
I literally leave it overnight. And here's the thing, guys. Now, I don't have the formula mixed perfectly yet because it's a little watered down, which means I have to add just a little bit more water, less water. But it is the smoothest coffee. There's almost no acidity to it. It's an exceptional experience.
All right. I'll take it. I'll accept it. First news story is actually two news stories, but I'm combining them because they're so intrinsically linked. Halo Infinite is delayed. However, the Xbox Series X has been confirmed for November. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, as luck would have it, with any time we do any of our shows, Kind of Funny Games Daily Wrap yesterday, we went to go do an in-review of Interstellar, and in the middle of Interstellar, Halo announced that they are delayed. I'm going to read from 343's post here they put up on Twitter. Today, I want to share an important Halo Infinite development update with the community. We have made the difficult decision to shift our release to 2021 to ensure the team has adequate time to deliver a Halo game experience that meets our vision. The decision to shift our release is the result of multiple factors that have contributed to the development challenges, including the ongoing COVID-related impacts affecting us all this year. I want to acknowledge the hard work from our team at 343 Industries, who have remained committed to making a great game and finding solutions to development challenges. However, it is not sustainable for the well-being of our team or the overall success of the game to ship this holiday. We know this will be disappointing to many of you, and we share in that sentiment. The passion and support the community has shown over the years has been incredible and inspiring. We wanted nothing more than to play our game with the community this holiday. The extra time will let us finish the critical work necessary to deliver the most ambitious Halo game ever at the quality we know our fans expect. Gary, where were you when Halo Infinite was delayed?
Where I always am, sitting in front of my computer in my sweatpants, scrolling Twitter, trying to avoid work.
Perfect. What were your first thoughts?
It's a bummer, right? I mean, it's not. I was about to say maybe not terribly surprising, but it kind of is. It is a little bit surprising.
I think it's huge surprising.
You got to believe that Microsoft and 343. You know, like if they're doing this, it's because they feel like they absolutely have no choice,
of course,
right? Because
of
this
course.
Is bad. This is a bummer for everybody. It's going to impact the launch of the Series X. It's a bad look. Gamers are disappointed. Microsoft's going to be disappointed. This would have been, I believe I'm right in saying this actually would have been the first game to launch as a launch title with an Xbox console since the original Halo Combat Evolved and the original Xbox. They've never actually successfully lined up a Halo title with a console launch since the first one. This would have been the first time. That would have been a big deal. Now it's not going to be a big deal. It does leave a void. Now it leaves us asking the question, well, what are going to be the launch titles? What is going to be the killer app? Because it ain't going to be Halo. That would have been it. I read the statement. I totally believe them and take them at their word when they say that COVID played a big part in that. That's not difficult to believe at all. We've seen that. I've had multiple projects either canceled or slowed down immensely by COVID. We've all seen it happen. We know it's a real thing. I thought what was interesting was they said that COVID was part of the reason. So what are the other reasons? That's an interesting thing to know. Like what else has been going on behind the scenes that led them to push this? The Halo Infinite first look was not. I don't think it was well received. It was a mixed reaction at best. Some people are outright, ridiculing the fact that it didn't look great. I was quite vocal about that on the XCast. I didn't think it looked great. Yeah. I said they should have waited. Maybe now, they acknowledge that they made a mistake in showing it too early. And so now they're going to do the delay that actually is more important, which is, we can't release this thing until it's ready. Halo's too important to release a half-baked version of. We got to get this right. Better to be late and have it be the game it needs to be than rush it out to hit an arbitrary release date, even though that release date would have been very, very significant in terms of the launch of the console. The Series X launch is going to be a very different proposition now. At launch for the holiday period, it's going to be a very different proposition. I'm sure Microsoft are really bummed about this.
Sure.
What's the true story behind this? Maybe a Jason Schreier type figure will get to the bottom of it at some point in the future. Who knows?
Well, he was already tweeting out there, right, about it, a creative director leaving about a year ago and all this other stuff. Like, there's clearly been turbulence over there.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, again, you can point the finger at COVID to some degree, but also there are clearly other factors as well. Who knows? That full story may come to light down the road, but for right now, it's just a bummer. It's just a big bummer for everyone.
And that's the thing about it, where delaying a game in general, right? And I'm not going to throw out the Miyamoto adage that we saw 300 people ring out yesterday, let alone the people talking, like, just the same Twitter reaction over and over again. This is a gigantic hole. But when you're excited for a video game and it gets delayed, obviously you're bummed out about it. But I think the, you know, rationale for most rational people is, of course, that, yeah, let give them the time. I want the game to be good. I don't want a half-baked product. I don't want something not amazing. So there's that to it, of course, that makes so much sense. And obviously you look at 343 Microsoft and you go, sure, go for it. Take your time. Make the game as great as you want it to be or it can be. But then there is this wrinkle to it, right? And I think you nail it, Gary, of like, it's been so long since a Halo game launched with an Xbox console. And they had pinned so many hopes to this and with the Xbox Series X and how phrasing has been about the Xbox Series X and what this is going to be. And even me, where I'm talking about, like, well, yeah, like, Xbox's power is Game Pass. Xbox's power is this platform, that it is no longer console generations for them. It is, in fact, you are on the Xbox platform, which means xCloud, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and obviously Xbox Pro, you know what I mean. You have that being the message, and I've said from the start that if Halo Infinite drops and is awesome and is amazing, and I kept saying, which it needs to be, they know what Halo Infinite needs to be. It needs to be the best Halo in, if not, it either needs to be the best Halo ever or the best Halo since Halo 2 and the memories you have from Halo 2 multiplayer. For that to have been not even the crown jewel of the Xbox Series X, but the Xbox platform, and what I had talked about so much of being the thing that you hear all your friends talking about how great it is, so you get Xbox Game Pass just so you can play it on your PC to try it out and see what's up, or play it on your phone or whatever you want through xCloud, right? But then the idea is that the game is so great that you go, oh man, I really do want to buy a console. Do I want to go to this one? Do I want to get to this? You want to have this conversation about which one to do to enter the ecosystem. To have that start turning the conversation as we move from just the Halo delay to what it means for Series X, I think is the most holy shit part of this. Like, I don't think the fact that Halo got delayed on its own, if we knew nothing and there was no console, like, oh, that sucks, but, you know, take your time. Obviously, we talk about it with every time The Last of Us Part 2 got delayed, right? Yeah, take your time, do whatever you need to. But to be like, holy shit, wait, like, the game that was the one that was going to be like, this is why you should be getting an Xbox Series X, this is what it's going to be, is gone. And now you have the Xbox Series X. As I said, they've doubled down and announced that they are launching in November over on the Xbox Wire. Will Tuttle had put up a thing talking initially about this, the delay of it, and then going, we have plenty to keep you busy until Chief arrives. There will be thousands of games to play spanning four generations when Xbox Series X launches globally this November, and over 100 optimized for Xbox Series X titles built to take full advantage of our most powerful console are planned for this year. And with brand new console features like hardware accelerated DirectX ray tracing, frame rates up to 120 frames per second, faster load times, and quick resume for multiple games, playing will look and feel better no matter which games you play or choose to play on day one. Then Xbox keeps pivoting and trying to make the case for what's going on with Xbox Series X, right? This is still Will Tuttle over on Xbox Wire. More than 50 games planned for this year across generations and More than 50 new games planned for this year across generations and optimized for Xbox Series X, including Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Dirt 5, Gears Tactics, Yakuza Like a Dragon, and Watch Dogs Legion. With smart delivery, you only have to buy these games once to play the best versions on your console across generations. New games developed for the Xbox Series X are launching with Xbox Game Pass, including exclusives like The Medium, Scorn, Tetris Effect Connected, and more. More than 40 popular games newly optimized to take full advantage of the Xbox Series X, such as Destiny 2, Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Madden NFL 21, and more. A shared library through Xbox Game Pass, play, you know, thousands across backwards compatibility. I feel it can't be understated how fucked up this is that they've lost Halo. And I'm not trying to drag anybody through the mud or through the glass or like insult anybody. It's just the fact that the hope, I have to imagine, with Xbox Series X was, we're launching it, we're putting out Halo with it. Even if you have your Xbox One right now and you play Halo and it is so fucking fantastic. You are having so much fun that you go, I'm all in. I'm going to go buy the Xbox Series X. I'm going to get the nicest thing, have the prettiest console, have the best bells and whistles, the most powerful console on the market, all that jazz. I think that without that kick in the ass, what I think the Xbox loses this ground where the people who are going to buy the Xbox Series X are the admitted hardest of the hardcore. They are Snowbike Mike, right? They are the people who are like, yeah, I am all in on the Xbox ecosystem, blah, 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 blah. Xbox had to have been thinking about this launch as expanding their footprint of the hardest of the hardcore, making new Xbox fans, making an actual case of why you should buy this box over the PlayStation 5. And again, I root for Xbox. I think they are on the right track on so many different things and are so pro-consumer in all these different things. And I know even their messaging, you have Phil Spencer on Animal Talking tonight.
We do.
I know their messaging being that this is a platform and Xbox Game Pass is the future and we don't care where you play it as long as you're playing it. I get that. But you're making a new console and you are making a new console to sell it. And not having this here is such a fucking detriment to making that argument this holiday of which one am I buying first, PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X? Am I wrong, yeah, Gary?
No, I mean, look. I mean, there's no way to put a positive spin on it. It's bad, right? Like this is a you had one job kind of situation, right? There were certain things that they wanted to do with this launch, and one was launch with their flagship title. They will now not do that. So fingers will be pointed, questions will be asked both internally and externally, I'm sure, about why this went wrong. Now, again, you cannot discount the COVID of it all, because that's a
not at all.
It's not an excuse. That's a legitimate major factor. I've seen it happen all over my industry. So many projects that have been brought, you know, grinding to a halt.
Sure. You can look at Kind of Funny. How many things did we do in January with the thermometer? We were just talking about this on the podcast or the post show to the podcast last night, right? Of like, we were going to do that basketball game. We are still paying rent on two studios and building a new studio, but like you're not going to see any of that. We can't do a basketball game. There's all these different things of like our plans are to the wind. I can only imagine being a gigantic corporation trying to launch a new piece of hardware, trying hundreds of people working on one game, let alone the thousands of people working in your studios on new games.
Yeah. And look, and again, the key is if you look at that statement, they say it right there in the statement that COVID was just one of the factors. Okay. So what are the other factors? That's interesting to talk about. Were they rattled by the very mixed reaction to that Halo footage? Were they forced to go to regroup and go, oh shit, like people aren't happy. Like we gotta do more. So, you know, that's a factor. I'll say this, and you know, I'm not trying to make excuses for anyone, Greg. I'll call it like I said. Like I was on KFX after the Halo Infinite reveal, calling out. I thought it was weak, and I said so in no uncertain terms. I think that in the long term, like in terms of the big picture of like Xbox and PlayStation and this next generation, is it going to be a big deal in the long term? Probably no. Halo will come out early next year instead, and all will be right in the Xbox world again. But they're definitely going to lose a step, you know, in terms of like which console, if there's a war for the wallet over the holiday period, and each console's making its offering. Here's what we've got. Here's what they've got over on the other side. Xbox just lost one of its most compelling arguments to choose Xbox over PlayStation 5. We now don't know what their strongest launch games are going to be. We thought it was going to be Halo, but it's not that now. Okay, so what is it going to be? We don't really know. Maybe a bunch of third-party stuff, which again is not the differentiator, because you can just as easily get that on the other console.
Right.
So yeah, it sucks. I think ultimately it's the right decision. Again, like they're clearly not taking this decision lightly. This is going to hurt them badly.
It's going
to hurt them badly. So they're only doing this if they feel that actually releasing the game on like with launch would be worse for them, which is to say the game would be bad.
So they've
had to make this decision.
You bring up, you know, will this hurt them in the long run? And you say no. I say it's questionable. I don't know. And again, to the point that Xbox, again, I do believe with my heart of hearts and in their heart of hearts, is marching to their own drum here. And even if it right now, we still talk PlayStation 5 versus Xbox Series X. But again, you have to imagine in the build up to the Xbox Series X, whether you're on Phil's team or you are Phil, you're having this thing of like, we are not going to repeat Xbox One. We are not going to come out of the gate and get our doors blown off, right? And then you get to this point where does the souped up Game Pass, the improved graphics of Game Pass make Xbox Series X a system seller to people? And again, I'm not taking a shot. Over at IGN.com, Ryan McCaffrey put up an editorial going through all of this. And of course, Ryan is to Xbox as I am to PlayStation, somebody who's just covered it forever. I'm taking two graphs from his story. First, let's look where this leaves the Xbox Series X as it prepares to launch in November. The big launch title is arguably, as of now, not a game at all. It's a service, Xbox Game Pass. Well, that and the Xbox Series X upgraded but not yet optimized version of Cyberpunk 2077, which will be marketed with Xbox. It's fair to argue that there isn't much reason to buy an Xbox Series X at launch anymore. Microsoft itself hasn't announced any other brand new day one first party launch titles, instead offering Series X optimized upgrades for Gears 5, Forza Horizon 4, and Gears Tactics. All of the other first-party heavyweights are early in development, and smaller second-party exclusives like Scorn and The Medium probably aren't going to move the needle for a fence-sitting console buyer this fall. But Spencer was clearly prepared for this possibility. He explicitly told me, again, this is Ryan McCaffrey at IGN.com, back in late March that no single game, not even Halo Infinite, would delay the Series X launch in the face of the coronavirus pandemic. Today, he walked the walk on that statement. Furthermore, there is one major card left for Microsoft to potentially play to swing the vote: price. In that same conversation, Spencer told me that Microsoft would remain agile on the price of the Series X, suggesting that it can and will undercut the PS5's price in order to make its console even more attractive in the marketplace and avoid the pricing debacle that has helped dig Xbox a deep hole at the beginning of this generation. It's important not to forget that the Series X is the most powerful console. Combine that with a price advantage with a free trial of Xbox Game Pass that will allow Series X buyers to play hundreds of games out of the box at launch without spending another dime. And let me try all this again. Combine that with a price advantage with a free trial of Xbox Game Pass that will allow Series X buyers to play hundreds of games out of the box at launch without spending another dime is an enviable position for Microsoft to be in, even without Halo. I love Ryan. I think this is a great piece, and I love a different perspective on it. I disagree with that statement where he's talking about that's an enviable position for Microsoft to be in. I disagree. Where I think, again, the people who are unshakable in their allegiance to Xbox are going to buy a Series X. People like myself, and I assume I speak for you, Gary, who our job, and you're actually on an Xbox podcast, but people who cover video games and are in this thing are going to buy an Xbox Series X because you want the bells and whistles and I want to be able to talk about it and yada, yada, yada. I don't think that there's, I just don't see enough people who are on the fence right now, who aren't all in on video games, looking at the Xbox Series X and going, well, it's got Game Pass, so I'm going to get a whole bunch of games from it. You could get Game Pass right now on whatever else you're going to be using, whatever you want. And I think that's the argument people are going to, if they're this kind of consumer that Ryan's talking about, is a real conversation they'd start having with each other. Well, why don't I buy the PlayStation 5? It's more money, but I get exclusive games and whatever else, and I'm going to play some of my games on it already. And I can just buy Xbox Game Pass Ultimate for $15 right now, play it on my phone, my tablet, on the PC if that's out eventually.
I mean, there are so many factors. You know, Halo at launch would have been one of... would have been among the more compelling arguments to buy an Xbox Series X at launch. There are others, you know, we don't know what the launch lineups are. Mm-hmm. By the way, I would point out that PlayStation 5, as I'm aware, doesn't have a Halo Infinite either. What's their version of that?
Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah, well, that's not even a full $60 game, right? That's like a half a game, like an Uncharted Plus Legacy kind of
game. Yeah, but I don't know how much that's not half.
That's cool. I don't know how much they're gonna charge for. It ain't Halo. The point is that Sony doesn't have anything of like the Halo level. Like it's not like they're launching with, geez, I don't even know like what it would be, like another Uncharted or another Last of Us. They don't have that. They just don't. So, you know, you could argue that Microsoft lost an edge, but they didn't actually fall behind. It's basically just kind of brought them into parity with where Sony are. I thought both the Sony and the Xbox game presentations were weak. There was nothing in either of them that made me go, oh my God, I got to get that game. You know, that's the reason to get one system over another. Price is a factor. You know, but both the consoles, you know, historically generally end up being very similar on price anyway. I don't know if there's going to be more than a $50 or $100 price edge. That could be compelling for a lot of people. As Ryan points out, you know, Microsoft made a historically bad strategic misstep with bundling the Kinect with the Xbox One, and that whole, you know, we're going to be the living room TV box Forget yeah. about games. Just watch TV and dance around like a flailing fool in front of your Xbox. And that obviously didn't work. And that $100 price premium that bundling the Kinect in with the Xbox One set them back for an entire generation. And they are and they are behind Sony to a certain degree to this day because of that colossal miscalculation. Is there a way for them now to swing the pendulum back the other way and say, you know what, this time we are going to be more, you know, we lost the last generation because we squandered such a long time forcing you to pay $100 for a piece of crap hardware you didn't want, and so a lot of people went with the PlayStation instead. Is there a way now that we can be more competitive on price in the next generation? There's lots of factors. Game Pass is a thing. I think they need to be very, very aggressive with Game Pass. I would bundle in at least 3 months free, maybe more. You know, a lot of, you know, they sure. they have a lot of positive goodwill around Game Pass right now. I think they should lean into that as much as possible. It remains to be seen on price. It remains to be seen on what the actual launch lineups are. Don't forget, again, historically, consoles don't typically launch with incredible launch lineups. They're always 100%. A bit like whatever, and the great games come later. So at this point, you know, since Microsoft lost Infinite for launch, I feel like the headline is that neither Sony nor Microsoft are going to have like a real killer app at launch, and launch consoles rarely do anyway.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. We have to get our hands on them all, obviously, to know. Let me see if we had a whole bunch of people wrote in for questions. Gamer and Gaines, BJ Bernardo, the Juice Box Rocks. Let me see if anybody's got something to say that we haven't really covered off on. Oh, here you go. I like Gamer and Gaines' question to start it. Morning, Gary and Greg. With the recent Halo delay, what are the chances that Sony also pushes back some of its launch titles? Without the pressure to compete with Halo at launch, do we see Sony allow its developers extra time to develop their games as well? Thanks, gentlemen. Keep up the good work. It's a great question. I think if I'm at Sony HQ, right? Well, first off, again, to exactly what's happening with Halo right now and Microsoft, that relationship, you imagine and hope PlayStation has that exact relationship with either their first party, like Insomniac working on Spider-Man, or whoever their partner, Young Horses with Bugsnax, where if those people were to come in and be like, hey, I know we said launch on this or we said holiday, but like we need more time, in the same way Microsoft's like, take your time, Halo, like we can, it'll be here in the end. And also this has been a fucked up year for everybody. You'd hope PlayStation does that too. So I don't think Sony would bristle at that or do it, whatever. But if I'm there right now and I'm PlayStation, I have to imagine like, holy shit, what an opportunity for us. Like, I hope none of our stuff passes. You're asking like, is that possible? Of course it's possible. It's 100% possible that Insomniac is like, maybe they were pushing really hard and doing this thing, and now they look at it and they go, okay, cool. Like, let's have a real conversation with Herman and see it. Be like, listen, Miles Morales is not where we want it to be. Can we please have more time? And that's something else. But again, you'd hope those conversations were happening regardless of the
fact. There's a reason. You could ask the question, why did they announce this now? By the way, thanks a lot, Microsoft. I've got Phil Spencer on the show tonight. I was just going to goof around and have fun with him, and then they dropped this massive.
Yeah, how are you going to do this? Phil's
first kind of live interview on the show tonight, like 24 hours after they dropped this mega news. Now, you know, it's like, it's a whole thing. And you know, we'll see what happens on the show tonight, but, I like, why now? Why today? Right. Why not yesterday? Why did they announce it yesterday? I think they felt like they probably announced it as soon as they knew they had to make the decision. Like, why wait? You got to think about it, right? If games are getting, you know, consoles, the PlayStation and the Xbox are probably both going to drop in November. It's no surprise that they go in November. Yeah, of course. December's too late. It has to be out in time for the Black Friday shopping season. October's probably too early. Yeah, of course, it was always going to be somewhere in mid-November. PlayStation 5 will be the same. They'll both launch, I would say, like mid-November. They'll both lock in a date around the same time, maybe like a week apart or something. But there won't be much daylight between them. And if you think about that, like the games that are going to launch on those systems, including Halo Infinite, would be going gold or approaching gold right about now, basically, like very close. Yeah. They can continue to do the day one patches, but in terms of like putting it in a box, designing the cover art, shipping it to stores, everything they need to do to like get it in stores in time for you know the launch, those games need to be going gold like now-ish. And so, you know, clearly 343 and Microsoft looked at what they had, they're like, okay, it's now or never. Are we going with this or not? And somebody had to pull the trigger and say, no, we can't. Like, we got it. We got to bite the bullet on this one. Like, it's not ready. And again, that super duper sucks. Sony's Insomniac are looking at their games right now, and who knows what they're thinking. They're probably we got this, we're ready to go. Or maybe they're thinking they might have to be push. But yeah, I mean, like, all the more reasons for Sony to not want to push anything right now, because, you know, Microsoft just handed them a huge gift, and the last thing they want to do is give it straight back with a push of their own, you know.
And that would be, I don't want that, obviously. I want every game to be amazing. I want every game to be a 10. I want visions to be fulfilled. If that means things get delayed, yada, yada, yada. But I don't want games to get delayed. I didn't want Halo Infinite to get delayed. I'm happy it did because it'll give more time, yada, yada, yada. But there's a part of me that would be interested to see if, yes, Spider-Man Miles Morales gets delayed out of the launch lineup for PlayStation 5, and you have Xbox Series X launching, and you have PlayStation 5 launching, and neither of them have a AAA heavyweight contender. And I know I'm playing a little bit fast and loose because Deathloop and everything else. There's other games on PlayStation, right? But for this argument, right, you have two consoles that launch. They both of them are the next step, but only one of them is the walled garden next step, right? I think it's easy with Series X. It's, oh man, I'm taking everything I already have and making it look better. That's exciting, obviously, but that's an upgrade versus PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5 being like, well, even if there isn't a killer app, let's say, you know, not that I think Bugsnax would be a system seller, but Bugsnax reviews really well and people really like Bugsnax. There is that thing of, well, fuck, the only way for me to play Bugsnax is to play it on PlayStation 5. He said, not sure about PC shit. But for this argument about consoles, right? Like, would that alone, and I'm, because I think right there, you lose Miles the way in they've lost Halo. You have this argument of, why am I buying these things? What am I buying for? So you're back to just buying for hardcore people. Would that be enough? Just even the some games that are exclusive to PlayStation 5 console wise enough to push numbers to actually make that matter? I don't know. This whole thing's nutty. What a fucking year 2020 is, Gary.
It's wacky, I have a feeling there's gonna be. We're not done yet, Greg.
Yeah. No.
October surprises are coming. The between now and Christmas. You know, I'll just predict this right now, whether it just be on a global scale or even just in terms of like what's coming, you know, in our little corner of the universe with video games. I just have this feeling between now and Christmas is going to be a shit show. Just buckle up.
Strap
brace in. Yourself, because it's going to get rough.
Let's move on to another shit show kind of story. Number two on the Roper Report. Control is getting an upgrade for PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. However, it's locked to a special edition. This is Matthew Olson over at US Gamer. Like many other recent and upcoming titles, Remedy Entertainment's Control will have a free upgrade option for next-gen consoles. There's a catch, though. Players who've already purchased Control for PlayStation 4 or Xbox One won't be eligible, as the upgrade is only being introduced for folks who purchase Control Ultimate Edition next month. Announced today, Control Ultimate Edition will first be released on PC via Steam on August 27th. Parentheses, Control was originally an Epic PC exclusive. And then a deluxe purchase on Epic PS4 and Xbox One on September 10th. The Steam release will coincide with the launch of AWE, the second and final expansion for Control. For $39.99, the Ultimate Edition will include the base game, both expansions, and the expansions... and the Expeditions mode, plus all the other post-launch content for Control. It's good value for those who haven't played it yet, but for those who have already bought Control on current-gen consoles, that's a high asking price for the upgrade to PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X. At least we've got a better idea of when to expect those upgraded next-gen versions of Control. The digital and physical versions won't ship simultaneously. Quote, due to various production-related reasons related to the global pandemic, but publisher 505 Games expects to launch PS5 and Xbox Series X versions digitally at the end of 2020. Physical versions for current-gen will also ship in late 2020, followed by next-gen physical copies in early 2021. There's also no mention made of Microsoft's smart delivery system for the next-gen upgrades, which also syncs up the achievements and progress across Xbox consoles for players. It's possible that Control will use a similar workaround for both its PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X upgrades. A lot of information there, Gary, but the main takeaway is that you have to buy the game again if you want to be able to upgrade it to your PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X. What's your take?
I saw a lot of people complaining about it this morning, perhaps rightly so. We talk a lot about anti-consumer moves these days, and it does feel like one of those. It's a shame that often the people who are the most passionate who, you know, another example is the Avengers game. You know, a lot of people made their decision to pre-order the game before that Spider-Man mic drop happened. And now a lot of people feel left in the lurch by that. That's fucked up. And by the way, did you see that mealy-mouthed bullshit they came out with about how like putting Spider-Man exclusive to PlayStation was a creative decision?
Well, because of Sony's films relationship to it, it's not a video game relationship, but we had some things are possible. We hope everybody likes Spider-Man.
How fucking stupid do they think we are? Like, here's the thing: they talk about adding insult to injury. Here's the thing, and you should be insulted when they try to tell you that shit. Here's the thing: when they tell you something like that, when they say, "Oh yeah, it's going to be exclusive to the PlayStation because we feel like that's fucking Spider-Man's spiritual home or whatever, and we're all about, like, you know, the creative decisions," that's basically what they're telling you is they think you're stupid enough to believe that. Like, they are insulting you right to your face, and they can go fuck themselves. On the control side, yeah, look, it's not brilliant. I guess you could make the argument that, you know, when a Blu-ray comes out, you buy a movie. 6 months later, they bring out like some ultimate director's cut. You don't expect to necessarily get upgraded to that for free. You got to go fucking go buy it again. We're all used to buying the same movies 5 times in a row. Having said that, when, you know, your most loyal customers, the people that pre-ordered the game, the people that were in on day one, the people that really supported you, who are most passionate about Control, at least give them the option to like pay an extra $10 and get the upgrade or something. Give them something. Don't leave
people
them totally.
Like Kayla wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and I think sums this up really well. Hello, Greg and Gary. Longtime listener, first time writer. I'm joining her question mid because she recaps everything. They also stated that past purchases of the game and DLC would not qualify for the next gen upgrade. I guess my question is obvious. Why is my purchase of the game and extra content not good enough for Remedy and 505 Games? Personally, I bought the game day one and the same for the DLC, parentheses, everything that is included in the Ultimate Edition, and will have probably paid more than that edition will cost. But I'm still locked out of the deal. What gives? And how long do you think it will take them to reverse this decision? People are not happy, and rightfully so. You're hitting it. You were driving there, Gary. Kayla was waiting for you in the parking lot. This is the thing about it that gets interesting and weird. You are 100% right, Gary, that not only, you know, I buy a DVD, then there's the Blu-ray, then there's the 4K Ultimate HD UA, blah 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 blah. In a game world, right, you buy the game and then you buy the DLCs, and then eventually, guess what, it is bundled as a Game of the Year edition, and it's $10 $20 cheaper,
right?
And we're used to that life cycle, and you understand that. Well, they're getting a discount on the back end because they waited. I didn't wait because I wanted that content. I love that game. I'm all about it, right? That is what's happening here, as Caleb points out. But then, yeah, you're getting locked out of being able to play, arguably, we'll say, one of your favorite games because you bought all this stuff, or a game you really enjoy because you bought all this stuff, with the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X visuals. That is fucked up in the way that I think, for me, the workaround of this would be that, to Caleb's point, all right, cool, we see on your PSN profile, you bought the game, you bought the 2 pieces of DLC. That automatic, that, or there'll be another unlock there, right, that just goes in, that if you have those 3 conditions, you then get the next gen upgrade that these people are getting through. That would make sense to me, because again, it's back to you anti-consumer stuff.
You could make the argument that not only would that be less anti-consumer, they might actually make more money. That's the only language these people understand. A lot of people out there will look at that. Oh, you know. And here's the thing, is that when they say this, you know, only new customers only, they basically are saying to you again, if we already have your money, we don't care about you. We only care about people whose money we can still get. So, you know, we got your money. We're good, thanks. Fuck you. And so a lot of people will look at that and go, well, you know what? I like Control, but like, I'm not paying $60. I don't forget, some people will. Some people want to, you know, hardcore people. Like, how many times do people go out and buy? Every time they re-release the Star Wars movies, they go, like what, 20 times now they've re-released those films. The hardcore fans want to have every version. And they will sell copies of Control Ultimate Edition to some of those people. But a lot of people will say, fuck off. And they're going to leave money on the table. Whereas they could have said, hey, give us an extra $10 and we'll upgrade it to Ultimate Edition. Or because, you know, you're an early adopter or whatever, we're offering you a special deal. They could have hoovered up all those $10. Now they're not going to. I don't know. Maybe it's just a dumb decision from a business standpoint, let alone anti-consumer.
Yeah, I know jack shit about it, but I would imagine this is a publisher decision. You know, I mean, 505 is publishing that game. It's Remedy making it, obviously, but they're the ones pulling the business strings. You would imagine that's this. And I went through and, like, again, Remedy, a beloved studio, let alone lauded after Control, to go into I went and looked at their tweet today announcing this, and all the comments, of course, are like, what the fuck, man? And so I have to imagine there's conversations going over there as Kate was talking about of like, can we do something? Can we figure this out? Can we do, how do we make this work for people on another level? Grezik wrote in and said, I love Control, but it truly struggled to run on my Xbox One. If the Series X is affordable, one of the first things I plan to do was replay Control and then dive into the DLC. I'd be okay if they wanted to charge $10 to $15 for the next gen upgrade. Locking behind a whole new purchase is a bridge too far. Are you willing to rebuy Control for the next gen boost? Is there some reason 505/Remedy needs to lock the upgrade to a new edition of the game, or is this just a way to squeeze more money out of people? Yeah, Control struggled on a lot of people. I think on my PlayStation 4, I had performance issues, if memory serves, right? I personally wouldn't rebuy it, but then again, this is where we're getting into it, where in what Gary's talking about, where this is very much like, oh, here's this crazy edition that has everything in it and a next-gen upgrade. You're at the store, you're buying your new Series X, you're buying your PlayStation 5, you see that on the shelf, and you're like, oh, I heard a lot of great things about Control. Great, I'll pick that up. Or I guess on digital store for the way they're talking about it, right? Great, I'll buy that and I'll do it. It is trying to get new customers in the door, and then it is trying to get into the pockets of people who love Control the most, who are like, well, fuck, I do want to replay this, and I do want to see this, and I don't. I loved Control. I base loved Control. I didn't really love Control. I enjoyed Control a lot. I thought it was crazy, and I tried to start the DLC or go back to the DLC, and I didn't do it. So I think this is just a way to not just to get money, but it's also to make this ultimate edition the ultimate edition. Like, you are there. What can we do to this edition to make it better? What can we do to this edition to, you know, make people come in and pick it up?
Yeah, it's again, all the news today, Greg, is a bummer. What's going on?
I know. I'm going to end on a happier one. It's not happy, but it's happier.
Yeah, it's annoying. Do right by your most loyal customers. Don't leave them twisting in the wind. Again, I see this all the time. If we've already got your money, fuck off. If we can still get your money, oh, we're going to, do we have a deal for you? It's very disappointing. We see it over and over again. I'm disappointed, but not surprised. Let me put it that way.
Understandable. Gary, the final one is a question for you that I think you might have some input on based on prior conversations. Number three, Gary, was Amy Hennig's Star Wars game going to be the best Star Wars game ever? This is Jordan Olerman over at IGN.com. A producer who worked on Project Ragtag has said that the canceled game would have been the best Star Wars game ever made. In an interview with Min Max, shout out to them, ex-Visceral Games producer Zach Mumbach shed some more details about the canned EA project, which, in his words, was set to be, quote, an amazingly well-crafted 12-hour experience. Mumbach talks about how the leadership team was brought in to cut and ship the game, who had a different vision from Ragtag than Amy Hennig's crew at Visceral. Quote, I'm thinking, this is effing Amy Hennig. We have the chance to make the greatest Star Wars game ever made and a possible Game of the Year contender. When asked about what might have happened if the team were given more time, Mumbach told MinMax's Ben Hansen, quote, I think we would have made the best Star Wars game ever made. The story and the setup and the characters, like, man, it was set up for success, but what we had to execute was going to take a while. Mumbach later talks about how EA had started to pivot away from single-player experiences, which led to Ragtag's ultimate demise, and how frustrating it was to see them return to the formula years later with Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. According to Mumbach, the team had a set of unfinished levels and a set piece involving a crazy AT-ST moment. Quote, you were on foot running from it, and it was trying to hunt you down, but you were more agile, slipping through all these alleyways and just barreling through and crashing and using all the destruction of Frostbite. Mumbach also described the gameplay as Star Wars Uncharted. Gary, would this have been the best Star Wars game ever made?
I mean, the tragedy is we'll never know. I do think that it will now live in kind of infamy a lot. You know, we still talk about 1313 all these years later, that, you know, the great Star Wars game that we never got to see. Now it's Ragtag or Scoundrels or whatever it was they were gonna call it. Yeah. It's a tragedy. I think that the only plus of all this is that Jedi Fallen Order ended up filling a big part of that box, that kind of story-based, you know, very different, you know, because Jedi Fallen Order is much more of the Jedi. Scoundrels was much more about kind of the Han Solo, you know, underworld, you know, murky bounty hunters and smugglers, kind of thing. Different vibe altogether. Would it have been the best Star Wars game ever made? Who the hell knows? You know, we can't even argue on what the best Star Wars game ever made is of the ones that are out there. So it's impossible to say. What's that?
Knights of the Old Republic.
I mean, Phantom Menace. I would agree with you.
Thank you. You're a smart man. You're a man of culture and taste.
But again, many wouldn't, because no two people really think exactly the same thing. But
more people do.
Listen, Amy's a good friend of mine. She's one of the most phenomenally talented people in the business. She has one of the best resumes in the business. If you want my advice, EA should have just gotten the fuck out of her way and let her make the game she wanted to make. I saw a lot of that game. I know.
You've talked about it. I think your first game's Daily Impression.
Fully finished cinematics. A ton of gameplay running around, and it was Star Wars Uncharted, and apparently that was EA's problem with it. They were going, well, this is just Star Wars Uncharted, and
what did you think
you were gonna get when you hired Amy Hennig? And like, isn't that what people want? Like the correct way to say that, you know, different readings of the same sentence, you can go like, this is Star Wars Uncharted. But what you should be saying is, this is Star Wars Uncharted. Like, the thing that you should want and is great. Two great tastes that taste great together. Uncharted is a great style of gameplay. We all love it. We love that mixture of like really cool, you know, platform run and gun shooting with cool narrative cinematics. Amy's the best in the business at that. Bring that to the Star Wars universe. It would have been phenomenal. It absolutely would have been phenomenal. The EA's decision to cancel that game, I think, is going to be one of the all-time great head scratches, and probably illustrative as kind of the historical lens kind of comes into focus over the years. We'll look back on it as illustrative of some of the colossal mismanagement and ineptitude that has been indicative of the way EA has run its studios now for a long time. I mean, like they kind of pulled it out at the end there with Jedi Fallen Order. Yeah, hire Respawn. Okay, literally all you need to do, hire Respawn and get out of their way. Not that hard.
Just get out of everybody's
way. Hire Amy Hennig and get out of her way. You know, it's not that difficult. I just wish they could have done that. But yeah, like the story of EA's Star Wars franchise has not been great. Battlefront 2, you know, was it's kind of in good shape now.
That
launch, as you remember, was a colossal embarrassment.
Yeah.
Squadrons might end up being good. I feel good about that. Fallen Order was good. They'll probably do a sequel. There'll probably be DLC and all kinds of cool stuff. But like,
fucking better be.
Man, did they have a rough start with that franchise? I still think ultimately that if I were Disney, I would not renew EA's Star Wars license. I would either bring it in house or find someone else to work with, because I feel like EA squandered a lot of the goodwill.
I'm a broken record, but I would treat it like Marvel games, and I would just say, cool, you know what? The exclusivity's done. We're still going to work with you, obviously, on Fallen Order 2 if they want to do another Battlefront, if they want to do another Squadrons or whatever. We can stick with you on those IPs or case by case, but we are going to go see other people and have other people make games and talk with other talented developers.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, I'm excited to find out what other talented developers have brought their games to mom-and-grop shops today, but before we do, let's talk about our sponsors and pay some bills. This episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Quip. Let's talk about brushing your teeth. 75% of us use old, worn-out bristles that are ineffective, and even more people forget to floss daily. Good health starts with good habits. Quip makes it easy by delivering all the oral care essentials you need to brush and floss better. The Quip electric toothbrush has timed sonic vibrations with 30-second pulses to guide a dentist-recommended 2-minute routine, and there's even a size-down version designed for kids. Paired with Quip's anti-cavity toothpaste in mint or watermelon, you'll get all the ingredients teeth actually need, and none they don't. Quip also has an eco-friendly refillable floss. The dispenser will keep for life. Oh, it's the dispenser you'll keep for life, and it has an expanding string that helps clean in between. Quip brush heads, toothpaste, and floss refills are automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5 each. A friendly reminder when it's time to refresh and stay committed to your oral health, and shipping is free. Of course, we all love it here. I use my Quip toothbrush. Jen uses her Quip toothbrush. Tim uses his Quip toothbrush. The list goes on. We love them and use them, and they help us keep our mouths good. Join over 3 million happy customers and practice good oral care easily and affordably with Quip, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games. GETQUIP.com/games. Quip, the good habits company. Up next, it's Klarna. Thanks to Klarna for supporting the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show. In Sweden, they don't shop. They Klarna. Klarna is a revolutionary new online shopping app from Sweden that allows you to shop thousands of online stores and pay for anything in 4 easy, interest-free payments that make shopping smoother.
With the Klarna app, you can shop anywhere online from one app. It's easy to use and convenient to browse thousands of online stores from one convenient place. You can pay for anything in 4 easy, interest-free payments. Paying after delivery allows you to try before you buy, and you can report returns directly in the app. Get the best deals with customized price drop alerts on items you've saved to your wish lists. It's always good to shop smarter and save money. Tim loves how easy it is to find what you're looking for. He's been using it. Him and Gia have been putting all sorts of stuff in their house from it. Just get it set up and you're ready to go. Klarna is a smoother, friendlier, Swedisher way to shop online. It's the one-stop shopping app for browsing and buying anything online all in one app, and allows you to pay for anything in 4 easy, interest-free payments. Download Klarna today. That's Klarna, Swedish for shopping. Gary, speaking of shopping, Greg Way, where can I go to find out what games came to the Mom and Grab shop?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Banner of the Maid on PlayStation 4 and Switch, Zero Strain on PS4 and Xbox One, Volta X on Switch and PC, Escape from Tethys, Switch and Xbox One, Prehistoric Dude on Xbox One, Metamorphosis on PS4, Xbox One, Switch and PC, Near Deadline on PC and Mac, Rubicon on PC, Fight with Love Deck Builder Dating Sim on PC and Mac, Pop-Up Dungeon on PC, Autoland on PC, Eternal Hope on PC, and Hit Edge of Eternity goes into beta today. New dates for you. Minecraft Dungeons has a big September 8th lined up. The first part of it is the Creeping Winter DLC brings a wintry storm that threatens to consume all it touches. The only chance of halting the biting frost is for a hero to take on new missions and relentless new enemies. That is paid DLC. However, they're also rolling out a free game update on September 8th that will include new features such as new merchants and daily trials. Save captured merchants you encountered as you play the game, and they'll be so grateful that they'll set up shop in your camp. The blacksmith will upgrade items for you. The gift wrapper will allow you to trade items with other players in multiplayer. The merchants can also be leveled up for additional stock. The daily trials will provide fun new challenges every day. Daily trials make wild changes to the game's mechanics, which provide difficult, experimental, or fun challenges for you to overcome. Gary, did you play Minecraft Dungeons with your daughter?
I did.
She liked it?
Yes, we both liked it.
I loved it. I platinumed it over on PlayStation. Big fan of that one, so I'm excited for this DLC.
Oh, so that's what I wanted to ask you about. Speaking of platinums, to go back to our Fall Guys chat from the top of the show.
No, that's
you know, there's this very hard. People have been doing it apparently to the surprise of the developers, but there is this very hard to get platinum or very hard to get trophy, which obviously you need for the platinum.
Of course.
Win 5 games in a row.
Yep.
Which seems almost impossible, but people out there are doing it. Like. Does that in any way seem attainable for you, or do you just think, you know what, this platinum's just not going to happen?
When the list dropped, I went and looked at it, and yeah, the one you're talking about of win 5 games in a row, I was like, no,
yeah, that ain't going to happen.
And that was the thing. I was like, day one, maybe I can do this, maybe. And I was like, oh man, everybody's already better than me. And then in here, you're like, no way. No fucking way. I think it's a bullshit trophy. I understand, like, yeah, it's, you know, they want that. The trophy's called Infallible, right? Win 5 episodes in a row. Right now, over on PSN profiles, it's got a 0.1% ultimate rare.
You know, statistically, it's going to happen when you've got a big enough player base. But man, like, when you think about how much random luck factor there is in that game, there's a lot of skill, but also a lot of luck. 5 in a row is like, I mean, that's like getting struck by lightning 3 times, you know, on the same day or something. It's absolutely mad. Anyone's got it.
It was that thing too for the trophy hunting community. Like, you talked about it, you know, when you were here last week, of how you had troubles playing it, you know, at launch because of server instability and stuff like that.
It's getting better, but it was rough that first few days.
I've still had disconnects since then, right? And you talk about this trophy being a part of it. Like, fuck off. Like, so, like, you know, how many times you're playing the game, you get disconnected, you're screwed if you're on number 4 and like you did one of the things where you're in the endless fall or
then
whatever.
You really
like,
are smashing your TV.
Yeah. And so, yeah, like, no, like, I don't know. I haven't read anything since the outcries about it. If they're like totally committed to it and they're like, yeah, this is what it's all about. But I would say fucking patch that out.
I could say maybe 3 in a row, which still seems like rough, but 5. But again, there was a story the other day. And again, it's because there's a lot of people playing it. Statistically, some people are going to get it, you know, as low, you know, 0.1% of like millions of people is still a decent number of people. Some people
again,
are going
to
get it.
We're talking about it, right? We're talking. I understand like their thing if they want it to be fucking impossibly hard. I just think that's a shitty trophy list, personally.
Yeah.
I digress. Rough.
It's rough.
The other new date for you here is from James O'Connor at GameSpot. Forza Horizon 3, like past Forza games, is going to be made unavailable for digital purchase soon. The open world Australian set racer will be removed from sale, just as Forza Horizon 2 and Forza Motorsport 6, the earlier entries before it. The game and all its DLC will be removed from sale, although they'll be available to download in perpetuity. You have until September 27th if you're trying to pick that up before that goes away. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching, we love you, and we say go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and love us, where you get the show ad free, get it with the post show we're about to do, and write in your squad up requests. You give us your name on any gaming platform, we read it here, along with why you need help in a video game. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Today, Chenard Dizzle needs help on PlayStation 4. That's spelled Chenardizzle. Chenard Dizzle says, because I want to go for that Fall Guys Platinum, and I need some team players to get past Fall Ball and get the trophy for winning with a squad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to play some Fall Guys, go hit up Chenard Dizzle on PlayStation 4.
I mean, that's actually a good point. Interesting. I'd be interested to know statistically how many people who have that 5-win-in-a-row plat did it as part of a squad. Because a lot of people say, well, the problem is with the team games, you just never know what you're going to get. But if you're playing with a squad, you at least have a chance to kind of have a coordinated effort in the team games. So there may be an element to that as well.
If you don't want to go to Patreon and support us, it's no big deal. There's a number of ways to get the show. Of course, you have to listen to ads, and of course, you don't get the post show. However, you can also watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames for free. If you have Amazon Prime, we encourage you to link it up for Twitch Gaming, Gaming Prime, they changed the name to, whatever it is, and use your free 30-day subscription to get us your thing. Anyways, though, if you're on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Gary, we had a perfect show. Nothing was wrong.
I that's what I'm used to around here.
Now, this isn't a you're wrong, but it is. You did say this, I think, at the start of pandemic, or no, start of the year. So Gondor's Condor does have in here, Gary, what's your weight at? We had been tracking and getting weekly updates from you.
Oh, I mean, it's kind of plateaued a little bit. I've been at around like 210, 215. So I lost anywhere between 35 and 40 pounds, depending on. I started at 252. And I actually need to get back on the horse a little bit. Like, I'm still doing keto. I'm still not eating any sugar, still eating very low carb. I haven't had pasta or bread or rice or potatoes or any sweets like that, since January 1st. I've been quite good about
Damn,
it.
Dude.
Awesome. But if I want to like really push through and get to under 200 pounds, which is where I want to get to, I gotta start being a little bit more strict with myself again. It's too easy to backslide when you do a diet. You know what it's like.
Yeah. Kevin?
I would like to add that Crown Gary is best Gary. There's something about you today. You had a special magic. So to that,
you know, it's like you put on like a really good suit. You feel better about yourself when you're well dressed and you look good. This crown is doing all kinds of things for me.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm actually going to be wearing a crown on the show tonight. My animal talking character will have a crown on.
Wow,
you got to maintain the vibe.
That's interesting. During the post show, I'm going to check. I sent your wife a letter last night in Animal Crossing. I wonder if she's responded yet. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. We will be back tomorrow, where your host will be Blessing with me in the shotgun seat. Also worth pointing out, tomorrow, Thursday, in the afternoon, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we return with more of my first ever playthrough of Halo Combat Evolved. This will be the fourth major section of episodes as we try to knock out each and every one of them in things. It's also one of the things nobody seems to understand. If you don't catch it live, you'll have to wait till they all go up on YouTube. So, like, you can't. That's how it is. If you go to Twitch later, you won't see it. So, you got to see it tomorrow, too. And then Friday, it's me and Ree from What's Good Games hosting this here Kind of Funny Games Daily. And Saturday, the Kind of Funny X-Cast returns. Gary Whitta, Snowbike Mike, Alana Pierce, episode five of six.
And then, Greg, who knows what might happen after that?
No. Well, I think episode six will happen.
Of the show might be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, who knows if we even get to episode six? You could pull it early.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a post show to do that you can catch on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But if you're not watching there, please like, subscribe, share, whether it be youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. No matter what you do, stay safe and know. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.